come fly with me.
Welcome to Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Oh, I'm so happy that you are with us. Last week, we had a very short interlude with Jim Rossi. He is the founding chief marketing officer of the United States Polo Association. He's also the managing partner of the Saratoga Polo Association. And we were able to connect with him and find some time in last weekend's programming to have him talk about one more reason why you better go and spend some time in Saratoga Springs, New York. And it's fascinating, a sport I know very little about. For those of you who have seen the film Pretty Woman, there is a scene where Julia Roberts accompanies Richard Gere, is it? I think it's Richard Gere. And they're going to a polo match. And there's so much more I don't know about polo than I know. And interestingly, you may remember, and we haven't had him on in years, my good friend Al Analik, who has been in his lifetime the premier travel industry attorney, the way he described himself. If you can name a brand, I probably represented them sometime either as the plaintiff or the defendant in some lawsuit. And he, with another fellow in the travel industry, wrote a few books. One is Travel Law, and I think one was The Rights of Travelers. And he was a polo player. So I have to share this with you quick. I once asked Al, I mean, you know, polo, it's not like shooting baskets down at the local park. I mean, you need a horse. You need some knowledge about it. You need a polo place to go and clomp around and play. How did you get into playing polo? And by the way, you know, for those of you who knew Al in the height of his life, because he is now retired, he had two phone numbers. One was his cell phone. The other was his office. Of course, he had a home number. But his cell phone and his office, the last four numbers spelled polo in both. So all he had to do was remember the first three digits of the exchange, because he was in San Francisco. So you knew the 415 and you knew the POLO at the end. You just had to remember what was in between, and you could track them down. And he really was dyed in the wool, interested in polo, and traveled to places to play polo, not just in San Francisco. He traveled to Mexico. He traveled to Europe. He traveled to Florida to be in tournaments and whatever. The man was, listen, if you change your phone number to get the phone number that ends POLO, you figure the guy's dyed in the wool, polo. So I asked him once, how did you get involved playing polo? This is not something that's like, you know, mom signs you up for the soccer team, you know, or the baseball, little league or something. He said, I wanted to pick up a client. And the client told me to meet him on a Saturday afternoon at the polo club. So he thought, you know, he'll go there. It must be like a golf course. You know, there's a clubhouse. He'll have a drink. He'll have a snack. He'll have a meal. Talk with the guy, romance him, and get him as a client of his legal firm. When he gets there, the guy tells him, if you want to talk to me, you're going to have to get on a horse and play polo. The man had never played polo, and add this one, he'd never been on a horse in his life. And so I don't know if it was courage or stupidity, but My mother would have told him, don't do this. That would have been the instruction and the good advice, but he wanted this client. So he got on a horse and he played polo and he got hooked. Not only did he pick up the client, he picked up an interest in this sport like a convert to a new religion. He was wild about polo. And so that was really my first kind of inside look at the game and its value. And I had the pleasure of being introduced by some folks here in Saratoga Springs, New York, to Jim Rossi. We had a little bit of telephone back and forth. He met me for lunch in Lee, Massachusetts, which was kind of a convenient spot to. It was more like a third from me and two-thirds the distance from him. It wasn't a halfway marker by any means. But we had a lovely lunch, and he brought me up to date on all kinds of things. And I said, you know, my audience needs to hear more about this. So especially since polo will take you traveling as a player to participate in tournaments, but it may also take you traveling as a spectator, as you saw in the film Pretty Woman. And so remembering the good advice in that film, don't tamp down the hot divots. We're going to be talking with Jim Rossi right after this.
This weather report is brought to you by the Curaçao Tourism Board. The long-range weather forecast for the north coast-to-coast calls for snow, sleet, icy rain, slippery roads, and a wind chill factor well below freezing. The long-range forecast for Curaçao calls for warm and sunny today, warm and sunny tomorrow, next month, and the months that follow, with highs around 86 degrees and lows around 76. Isn't it time to plan your breakaway in Curaçao now? Learn more at Curaçao.com. That's Curaçao.com.
I have the pleasure of being at the Pavilion Grand Hotel in Saratoga Springs, New York, in our very comfortable suite where Aaron Gowoof, our Springer Spaniel Rescue, has made herself very much at home here. She's very happy. And the only time we're going to hear from Aaron is when she looks out the window across the street at the crosswalk and she spots someone waiting for the light to change who sports a beard. Men with beards were not good to her in her life before we met her. So that's a hangover from her previous existence. So be prepared. We may be hearing from my assistant, Erin Gowoof, Miss English Springer Spaniel. But it's a delight to meet you again, Jim. Thank you for making the time to meet us here at the Pavilion Grand Hotel. And thank we were talking, we did a bit for last weekend's show, and we didn't have enough time to really delve into this whole polo thing. So I have some questions right out of the box about the Saratoga Polo Association. First of all, why is this place called a polo association rather than a polo club?
Well, it was founded by W.C. Whitney in 1898. So we're one of the four oldest polo associations in the United States.
Wow.
So the United States Polo Association, the governing body, was founded in 1890. So this was founded shortly after that. And W.C. Whitney was one of the people that was involved in the original formation of the National Association.
Well, you kind of think of polo, you'll forgive me, this is not meant to be mean or snarky. It may come out sounding that way, so I warn you in advance. But it's sort of like an elitist sport. It's not, you know, you need, you know, golfing, skiing, those are expensive sports, and you need money, and you need time, and you need to be able to travel places. So they have always, you know, it's changed a lot in more recent years, but historically, tennis and golf were not for the masses. And clearly that's changed a lot. Polo, you've got the added story of you also need a horse.
You need multiple horses. It's they're in a average polo match, a regulation polo match, there are 6 7.5 minute chuckers or periods. But polo is the oldest known team sport. It goes back to Genghis Khan.
Oh, wow.
And it's elite mostly in the sense that the sport was used to train elite officers. The British Army used polo to train elite officers. In the United States, General Patton played polo. And when you go to Army installations around the country, there are typically polo grounds at the Army installations because it was used for officer training because it's a very strategic sport.
So did people play polo at the polo grounds in New York City when it was a baseball place?
Before baseball.
They played polo there, yes. And that's why it was the polo grounds?
Yes.
How come nobody ever told me that?
Well,
we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to pick it up on the other side of these remarks. So don't leave me, people. We'll be right back. Movie show travel itineraries with dots on maps. I want to do better than that and take you traveling by TV. Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Join me on Sundays on my new show, Travel TV with Stephanie Abrams, airing coast to coast when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Plan to sit right beside me. We'll explore travel for fun, business, reunions, weddings, honeymoons, families, and sports adventures, reaching homes in Boston, New York City, Miami, Orlando, Tampa, Dallas, Houston, Nashville, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and more cities across America. Our affiliate TV stations are listed at sabrams.com/blog. That's sabrams.com/blog. And at biztv.com. Let's take off traveling together when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Sundays.
Ah, Curaçao. The Dutch island with Caribbean and South American flavors blended to tantalize taste buds of foodies, connoisseurs of fine liqueurs, seekers of secluded sandy beach coves for lovers, and lovers of water sports, history buffs seeking European immersion in world history and its UNESCO Heritage City. Shopping for the most sophisticated brand seekers and unique creative handcrafts of Curaçao's artists and artisans. With challenging Lynx golf courses, including one voted 2018's best golf course in the Caribbean by USA Today, and an island with world-class sightseeing experience in abundance. Sun and sand? Lots of it. Year-round, wrapped in warm breezes. Curaçao has everything you want on your next holiday. Visit Curaçao.com and visit Curaçao. A warm welcome awaits you. That's Curaçao.com.
The magic is happening at Yankee Candle Village in South Deerfield, Mass. One of New England's most popular attractions, the village is a unique, entertaining world of fun, fantasy, food, and fragrance for the whole family. It's also the world's largest candle shop, where kids and grown-ups can make their own candles. The village is home to the enchanting Black Forest, where it snows year-round. Santa's Workshop, where he welcomes visitors every day of the year. And the Bavarian Christmas Village, filled with sparkling holiday ornaments. In addition to over 400,000 candles, you'll find toys, gifts, and more from great names like Pandora and Vera Bradley. And with tasty treats from Yankee Candy, Fresh Fudge, and Popcornopolis, every day is a holiday. Or sit down with the family for a wonderful meal at the award-winning Chandler's Restaurant. Yankee Candle Village in South Deerfield, Mass., where families come for the candles and stay for the fun. Take the Mass Pike to I-91, exit 24.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
How about that, people? How about that? All of you listening in the New York area and elsewhere who maybe grew up somewhere near the polo grounds or went to the polo grounds in New York City to go see so there was the Giants, wasn't it? Yeah, the Giants game.
Well, wow. Actually, the first polo match in the United States was played at the Armory in Manhattan.
Wow.
So, and it was a few years ago, we had an event at the Central Park ice rink, and that was one of the first times polo had been played in Manhattan in a number of years, but it goes back to the original history of the sport in the United States. Now, the polo grounds in the Bronx, in that area, you know, was a lot more
things. The polo grounds, the one that was in Brooklyn, no?
No, no, Manhattan. I'm sorry. It was in Upper
Okay,
Manhattan.
Wait a minute. Okay, so Yankee Stadium is the Bronx.
Yes.
And Dodgers played where?
Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn.
Yes. And the Giants Ebbets played Field. In...
And the Giants played in Polo right, Grounds Northern in Manhattan. Manhattan.
Yes.
That previously had actually been used to play polo.
Yes, because there were...
How cool is that? How is that little bit of trivia something I'm learning today?
Well, and the Polo Grounds were not a... The specific polo grounds in Manhattan were not a major, that was not a major polo venue at the time because the.
Because everybody played on flat fashionable Long Island?
Exactly. The right. First polo club, the oldest polo club in the United States, is in Old Westbury. It's the Meadowbrook Polo Club. So.
Okay, so I lived one exit away from Old Westbury mm-hmm. for 10 and a half years.
Yes.
I lived on Long Island for over 20 years. I spent most of my growing up years in Queens, New York. Mm-hmm. Had no idea there was a polo club in Old Westbury. Old Westbury Mansion? Absolutely. Know all about it. Been there, done that.
Now, the Meadowbrook Club is in a very residential area, so polo is played.
Oh, they
played.
Must love that.
Well, polo is played on the – and in fact, the Polo Training Foundation has its operation there, so – there's a lot of polo being played at the Meadowbrook Club, but very few public events because they can only be charity events a few times a year. So that's probably why you wouldn't have known about it. At the time you were there, there was probably a lot of polo going on in Bridgehampton and Southampton.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And the U.S. Arena Open happens out in Long Island as well. In fact, I think we're planning... to have it at the Nassau Coliseum.
Oh wow.
Next year. So it's very exciting.
That is.
Polo is actually growing quite a bit in popularity. A lot of that is coming from the interscholastic and intercollegiate programs because there are more of them and young players are able to play in those programs without having to have a string of horses and so forth. So
let me get some facts in my head here.
Sure.
So, people are brought together who are polo players to create teams for tournaments. And so, anytime any particular tournament is taking place, you may have a whole different population of players?
It's not quite like that. There's some consistency in the teams themselves because the player owners, because it is pro-am in the United States, will organize the team. And they typically tend to...
And for those people who never heard the word pro-am before, that means...
A professional amateur.
Right.
So even at the highest levels in the United States, it's still professional amateur. So there are amateurs on the field.
How many people constitute a team?
4 people per team.
Okay.
And there are 6, 7.5 minute checkers. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't know anything about polo, but all you have to, if you've watched any sport where, you know, someone's scoring by putting a ball through a goal,
it's
easy to follow. And of course, as I said before, it's very strategic because polo is played, outdoor polo is played on the largest field of play in sport. It's 10 times the size of an American football field.
Oh, wow.
So, and you have horses that are
Which
typically...
Which means what? Binoculars are necessary.
Well, it's very interesting because it's a very high-octane, action-oriented sport. It's an extreme sport in a lot of respects. It's actually the second most dangerous sport next to auto racing.
Oh, I believe that.
But also, because it's up close and action-oriented sometimes, but other times it's far away, so that allows you some time to sip some champagne and enjoy yourself and have
a
conversation.
Well, if you're a spectator, yeah. Yes. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come right back. I'll be sipping champagne and thinking about watching a chucker of polo. We'll be right back. Don't leave me.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
Saratoga Springs, New York is the most interesting place. really, truly, it's again, yet again, another one of those places I find to be under-noticed places that have something for every interest, no matter what your interest is. There's a wonderful rose garden here, and there's at least one rose that's dedicated to Mrs. Whitney. Yeah, you know about Seabiscuit, and you know about Saratoga Raceway, and you know about, maybe you know about SPAC, the Saratoga Performing Arts Center, which gets everything from serious ballet and classical music to rock stars and jazz and anything you're looking for, it's here. But who expected the Spanish Inquisition? Watch the film Sliding Doors. Saratoga Polo Association is here. And it comes from a Monty Python thing, but it was in a repeated theme in the movie Sliding Doors with Gwyneth Paltrow, and I forget who all the other people were. But who expected Saratoga Polo Association? I mean, that's, you know, it's not like having a baseball diamond or some tennis courts or some basketball courts. It's,
well, Stephanie, when you go to the National Museum of Polo and Hall of Fame in Wellington, Florida, you'll see that the early years of polo, a lot of the major tournaments with the early founding fathers of polo in the United States, a lot of the most legendary matches were played on the Saratoga Polo Field.
And that is the voice of our guest, Jim Rossi, the managing director of the Saratoga Polo Association, who was also the founding CMO, Chief Marketing Officer, of the United States Polo Association. How big is polo in the U.S.?
There are over 270 polo clubs in the United States.
Wow.
And that includes
who
universities.
Who would have thunk it?
Exactly. They're in every state. A lot of those include clubs that are either based at a college or a prep school or interscholastic, which would be pre-college, public and private. And there are tons of polo matches taking place in most places. And Winston Churchill once said, having a polo handicap is a passport to the world, because typically you'll find polo, and it's actually a very friendly community. If we're talking about your friend who became hooked because he met a business.
Al Analik.
Yes. And he's been in Saratoga before and played in Saratoga. And
have you gotten royalty?
Not necessarily
in
Saratoga, but I've been involved as CMO in a number of events with the Prince's Trust. So they do come here and
play. As in Charles?
Charles William and Harry. Harry is most active lately.
Yeah, I've actually seen photos of him playing
yes,
polo.
Yes, and he's very active. He uses it as a platform to raise money for his charity, favorite charity, which is the Sentebale program that's based in Botswana. And the number of charity polo matches in the United States, polo as a sport generates a significant amount of money for charities all over the world. And it's really a very approachable sport, especially from a spectator standpoint.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I'm really good at being a spectator.
Yes. And oftentimes people do sort of catch the bug and decide that they want to try it.
That wouldn't be me.
Nor would it be me, frankly. I have grown to really, my partner and I, Mike Bucci, purchased the polo club 15 years ago, and I've become quite fond of the sport. As you said, I've been involved in national organization for quite some time. But the thing about the spectator experience is that it's a very different type of experience that if you do get a chance to try it anywhere in the United States, whether it's a backyard sort of pickup polo game where it's just people tailgating to, you know, the handful of clubs that have a large audience like we do.
Who has a backyard that they want to run horses through?
Well, a number of clubs are, you know, somewhere where it's a group of people who all get together and play polo.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
You know that scene in Pretty Woman?
Yes.
Okay. So they go to the polo match.
Yes.
And when it's over.
Yes.
The announcer on the PA system says, "We will now go out and stomp on the divots."
Yes. That's actually an integral part of
the polo
match.
Well, I wanted to ask if that's the real deal. Mm-hmm. People do that?
Actually, it's a critical part of a polo match at halftime. So
nobody trips.
That's correct, because typically after a polo match, you know, you can imagine when you have, you know, eight horses plus the two horses that the umpires are on. So you have 10 horses at any given time on the field galloping up and down the field.
Yeah, they're clumping up the grass.
Exactly. So typically it takes us at least a day to recover the field with a very large field crew to replace all the divots and everything. But at halftime, the audience actually plays a central part in being able to have the next half of the match.
Just don't stomp in any hot divots.
Exactly. So, okay. You know, we always say that. But it really
Do
is
you really?
A great
Is that part of the announcement? Don't step in the hot
well,
divots.
Well, it's the joke that we've been saying for years. I mean, people know not to watch out
I wonder who the polo enthusiast was, a player or a spectator, who wrote the screenplay for Pretty Woman, who wrote
right.
it in. Do you
that's
know?
Interesting. I really don't know the story
find
behind
out for
that,
me.
But we did have a year or two ago, a 25th anniversary celebration of Pretty Woman.
I'll tell you something funny about that. Here in Saratoga Springs, Helen Watson mm-hmm. is the general manager of the Adelphi Hotel.
Yes. A good friend.
And it's a lovely, she's a wonderful person.
Yes.
And it's a lovely hotel. It's a, you know, it has a historic background. And it's right on Broadway, I guess that is. It's like in the thick of things. And it has this wonderful, almost colonial feel about it. I don't know that it dates back that far, but it's probably 1800s or something. She, before she came to New York, worked at the Four Seasons
in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles. And she said to me that now, and this just happened a couple of weeks ago, that's why the 25th anniversary mm-hmm. clicked in my brain. She said, it's 25 years later and since the debut of the film Pretty Woman, and there are still people coming daily by busloads
yes.
to groups that come to stay at that hotel. Mm-hmm. Because the connection and the affection they have for the film Pretty Woman.
Yep, and it is that way with polo. And that scene actually depicted, like I said, you know, what's really nice about a polo match. Because typically at our venue, we would have two sides of the field. We have a clubhouse side where we do serve food and champagne and that type of thing. People get a little dressier, but it's still fairly casual.
Yeah, I've never forgotten her
yes.
brown polka dot dress.
Sure, exactly. None of us have, but and
the woo woo woo.
Right now, but another big part of polo is tailgating, because it's one of the few events that you can tailgate while the event is taking place. So we have a very large tailgate section on one side of the field, and, you know, people pay by the carload and bring their own stuff. And then we have a clubhouse, you know, that's quite nice. And some people get a little dressier. Some people still dress down a little bit. It's a very casual sort of anything goes atmosphere. But at that time, at halftime, everyone meets on the field. And it's
and
a
stomps it's
a,
the divots.
And stomps the divots. And it is a very critical part of being able to play the second half. and you know, it gives us a little bit of free labor, but we couldn't possibly get a crew out there
to do it.
So people are actually participating in the match.
Well, that's a good thing. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. People, not everybody lives the same way. When you talk about the real world is whatever your world is. We'll be right back. Don't leave me.
You're not the truth. No one could look as good as you. Mercy. Pretty woman, won't you pardon me? Pretty woman, I couldn't help but see. Pretty woman, and you look lovely as can be. Are you lonely just like me?
Movie show travel itineraries with dots on maps. I want to do better than that and take you traveling by TV. Hi, this is Stephanie Abrams. Join me on Sundays on my new show, Travel TV with Stephanie Abrams, airing coast to coast when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Plan to sit right beside me. We'll explore travel for fun, business, reunions, weddings, honeymoons, families, and sports adventures, reaching homes in Boston, New York City, Miami, Orlando, Tampa, Dallas, Houston, Nashville, Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and more cities across America. Our affiliate TV stations are listed at sabrams.com/blog. That's sabrams.com/blog. And at biztv.com. Let's take off traveling together when it's 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Sundays.
Ah, Curacao. The Dutch island with Caribbean and South American flavors blended to tantalize taste buds of foodies, connoisseurs of fine liqueurs, seekers of secluded sandy beach coves for lovers, and lovers of water sports, history buffs seeking European immersion in world history and its UNESCO Heritage City. Shopping for the most sophisticated brand seekers and unique creative handcrafts of Curacao's artists and artisans. With challenging Lynx golf courses, including one voted 2018's best golf course in the Caribbean by USA Today, and an island with world-class sightseeing experience in abundance. Sun and sand? Lots of it. Year-round, wrapped in warm breezes. Curacao has everything you want on your next holiday. Visit Curacao.com and visit Curacao. A warm welcome awaits you. That's Curacao.com.
It's Travel with Stephanie Abrams.
You know, every time I come to Saratoga Springs, I have a wonderful time. But I have to tell you, this interview is going to be hard to beat because I am having such fun learning about how those involved in polo live. I mean, there's a certain lifestyle that has to accompany the polo player. Otherwise, there's no way you can do this sort of thing. So, anybody ever fly? I'm talking with Jim Rossi, who's the founding chief marketing officer of the U.S. Polo Association and the managing partner of the Saratoga Polo Association here in Saratoga Springs, New York, which is only couple hours, 2.5, maybe 3 hour drive, depending on traffic from New York City. Gorgeous, beautiful drive, people. So if you're visiting the area, rent a car or hop on Amtrak, and there is a station, cute station too, in Saratoga. And once you're here, you can either rent a car, or if you're staying in the downtown area, there's a couple of wonderful hotels. The Pavilion Grand Hotel, where we are, it's just charming and lovely and spacious and fabulous. And it's, relatively new. It's only a few years old. And then nearby is the Adelphi, which is right on Broadway. And you can, from either hotel, you can pretty much walk to all the downtown Saratoga Springs stuff. Now, how far away, Jim, is the Saratoga Polo Association?
We're exactly 1.5 miles from where we're sitting right now, so okay. We're very close.
Yeah.
But when you get out there, because the field is so large, we have a 42-acre property, but like I said before, it's the largest field of play in sports. So you really feel like you're very secluded, even though you're only a mile and a half from all the hustle and bustle of downtown Saratoga Springs.
Wow.
So,
if you want to go and see a polo match at the Saratoga Polo Association, which I think would be fascinating for the uninitiated, mm-hmm. and would be a nice family thing to do.
It really is. It's very nice for families and visitors and so forth, because it's from 5:30 to about 7:30 on Friday and Sunday nights, starting just after the 4th of July through Labor Day. And there's everything from being able to tailgate for a fixed price for a carload, starting, I think it's $40 a carload, and you can bring your picnic and so forth. And then we have ticket prices that range from $20 a person to $60 a person in the clubhouse. And, you know, the difference in price is basically location and what kinds of amenities you have. So it's a nice night out for families. And 5:30 to 7:30, you know, it's, you can feel like you have a night out as adults, but the kids are still in bed before witching hour. So it works very nicely. And we start just around the time after the feature race at the track. So it is possible to go to the racetrack and have a nice day there and make it to polo.
What a fun day.
You could even make it to the ballet or a show at SPAC afterwards. So it fits in very nicely.
What a fun day.
So it's, you know, we have one of the largest audiences in the United States for the polo matches that take place here. And it fits in, you know, Saratoga is about health, history, horses, and the arts. And we have a lot of that covered at Saratoga Polo.
So. Wow. So here's the $64,000 question. How'd you get hooked into this?
Well, I graduated from Skidmore College in 1982. I moved my family here in 1997, after my 15th reunion, and we had been shopping for places to live, and I fell back in love with Saratoga, looking at it as an adult raising a family, and it turned out to be, you know, the best thing we did was to, it was just a great place for our children to grow up, and they've had exposure to, you know, all kinds of culture.
But how does that bring you to polo?
Well, I was looking to do something that was traditionally Saratoga. I have a marketing background. I've done a lot of marketing in the past, and I met my partner, and we were looking to do something that in the hospitality business in Saratoga, and we found the polo club. And I had a sports marketing background as well. I worked in the Olympics in Atlanta. And I had worked on a NASCAR and a number of other sports properties. So this sort of put it all together.
What's the website?
SaratogaPolo.com.
SaratogaPolo.com.
Yes.
People, go check it out. See if you can get your bones to Saratoga Springs sometime in the summer months. And be a spectator, or come with your six horses. Tell them you want to play. This is Stephanie Abrams. More to come. We're flying high.
Just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.